Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
All right, this morning, this is in a sequence. I started talking about things that make the Word of God of none effect. God is a good God. God loves us. God is faithful. Most of us embrace those sayings, but like it says in Mark 7:13, traditions, doctrines of men make the Word of none effect. And so I'm encountering some of the religious traditions that really keep us from embracing and fully understanding how good God is. For instance, for you to say that God is good and then turn around and say God's the one that controls everything. Nothing happens but what He approves it. Satan can't do anything without His approval. Well, that makes God responsible for all the rape, the murder, the heartache, the hurt, the pain. And that just lessens, it takes away the power of saying that God is a good God. But when you start attributing all of this evil to Him. So we talked about that. I showed how that the Old Testament, yes, there was wrath and there was punishment from God, but that was not really God's true nature. God waited for 2,000 years before He gave the law, and then the law was only temporary until Jesus could come. And there was a reason why He did this. Basically, the human race was becoming so corrupt that before Jesus could come into this earth, God had to do something to restrain the amount of sin, or Satan would have just polluted the human race so there wouldn't have been a virgin left for Jesus to have been born through. So the way He limited sin was by releasing His wrath and punishment. It wasn't His true nature, or He would have done it from the very beginning. But He added it, and it says this over in Galatians chapter 3, the law was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promises were made. It was only a temporary measure. And the problem has been that the body of Christ has tried to mix all this together and come up with an impression that God sometimes is angry, sometimes He's kind. Is He the God of the new covenant or the God of the old covenant? Will the real God please stand up? And they are confused. And so we talked about that and tried to deal with all that. Last night I talked about how that God by grace has already provided everything. It's not based on your performance. And you just simply reach out and appropriate what God has already provided by grace. That's what faith is. Faith is a positive response to God's grace. It is not something you do to get God to move. Boy, these are huge concepts. These are big concepts, concepts that are contrary to most people's doctrine. And this is the reason that little statements like God's a good God, God's a faithful God, God never fails, that the reason that that is voided in most people's lives and doesn't release the power is because of these religious traditions that minimalize and make those truths of none effect. I want to amplify on this morning and just begin to start talking about how that God has dealt with our sins. We all say that our sins are forgiven, but then, again, there's religious traditions that say, oh yeah, our sins were only forgiven until the next time we sin. And most Christians still live with a sin consciousness that is not consistent with what the Bible teaches. Let me just, first of all, use an example. If I was your friend, and if I said, man, I'm your friend and I want to treat you good, and if I extended all kinds of love and grace towards you, but then I said, and if you do one thing that violates what I want you to do, my wrath is going to come on you. I won't be your friend until you repent and start doing what's right again. You know, if I was that kind of a friend that my friendship with you was based on your performance, we wouldn't be friends very long. You know, one of the things that really makes a good friend is a person who accepts you and they know that you aren't perfect. And even if you do something wrong, they're going to love you. There's nothing you can do to turn them away. I've actually had some friends. There was a friend of mine, I'm thinking of a specific person that, you know what, there's some bad things that have happened. I said, you know what, it doesn't matter. I said, I love you regardless of what you do. And it just doesn't matter. Our friendship isn't based on whether everything goes right or not. There's some people that I've been friends with that, Even though, you know, we've had some rough times and they don't agree with me and everything, it doesn't matter. If they called, I'd give them anything I've got. If I called them, they'd give me anything that they've got. Our friendship isn't based on whether or not I am the perfect person. In marriage, you know, if marriage was based on you got to be the perfect person, I guarantee you, your marriage would fall apart. And this is why so many marriages fail today, is because they're looking for the perfect person. Man, Jamie has to give me a lot of grace. I am not the perfect husband. And she is merciful to me. And I know that Jamie loves me, not because I deserve it, but because she's chose to love me. I really don't think you can maintain relationship long term without a tremendous amount of grace. And yet, the church is basically presenting that God's relationship with us is based on our performance. And if you don't do everything right, if you don't dot every I and cross every T, then the wrath of God is going to come upon you. And there's varying degrees of this. The ultra-Pentecostals will believe that every time you sin, you lose your salvation. And if you were to die in a situation like that, you'd die and go to hell. A lesser interpretation, but the same thing, same principle, is that, oh, you wouldn't lose your salvation. You'd still go to heaven, but God won't answer your prayers. God won't fellowship with you. You won't have joy. God is going to cut off His blessing into your life until you repent and get back in fellowship. And it's the same thing, that basically your relationship with God is based on your performance. And I tell you, if you believe that, then you are going to void, diminish, make of none effect that truth that God is a good God, that God is a faithful God. Because you'll say, well, God would be faithful if I was faithful. No, His faithfulness isn't dependent upon your faithfulness and on your goodness. And I know some of what I've said just here as introduction is like, this can't be true. This is too good to be true. Well, that's what I want to share with you this morning and share the good news with you. It's nearly too good to be true. First of all, let me look over here in Luke chapter 1. This is John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, who was prophesying at the birth of John. He had been dumb ever since the angel told him that he was going to have a child, and he didn't believe, and the angel struck him dumb, and he wasn't able to talk until John the Baptist was born. And when John was born, his mouth was loosed, and he began to start prophesying. And I hadn't got time to read the whole thing, but let me just break into a part of what he said in Luke chapter 1, verse 76. It says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins." This says in prophecy, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through him, that you are going to give knowledge of salvation to God's people by the remission of their sins. The word remission of their sins over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, the word remission of sins, it says that God, let's see, I can't remember the exact quotation. Let me just read this in Ephesians chapter 1. Have you got it? "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." And over in Colossians 1, 14, it says we have redemption through His blood. That is the remission of sins. And so the remission of sins is talking about the forgiveness of your sins. It's through understanding that your sins are forgiven that you really understand salvation. If you do not understand this issue of forgiveness of sins, you cannot understand salvation. That's what all of these scriptures are saying. And I believe that there is a lot of confusion in the body of Christ about forgiveness of sins. Basically, the body of Christ is preaching that when you get born again and you make Jesus your Lord, your sins were forgiven up until that point. And then every sin that you commit from that time on after you're born again is a new transgression against God that is going to affect your relationship. Again, to some degree, Pentecostals would believe you lose your salvation and you die and go to hell with an unconfessed sin. Other people would believe, oh, it's not that severe, but God won't bless you. He won't answer your prayers. He won't fellowship with you if you've got an unconfessed sin. And so you got to get every sin confessed and under the blood. And you know what? That is an unworkable doctrine. You can't live that way. And some of you are thinking, oh, I confess every sin. You know, the scripture talks about to him that knows to do good. To him it is sin. And so sin isn't only the times that you directly transgress a law, but sin is when you should be doing something good and you fail to do it. So sin isn't just the bad that you do that transgresses a commandment. Sin is also the good you fail to do. Now, if you use that definition of sin, then you know what? Every one of us is failing to be as good as we could be. Every one of us have been commanded to love other people, to esteem other people better than ourselves, to lay down, to turn the other cheek, to always put other people first, and on and on. We've been commanded to study the Word and to love God with our whole heart and our whole strength and all of our might. And you know what? We are failing constantly in this. And if you really believe that you have to have every sin confessed and that you can't have any problem in your life, then you know what's going to happen? We're going to live a life about the way most of us are living. Because we'll go around with a sin consciousness, just constantly knowing I'm not everything I should be. And you won't doubt that God has the power. You'll just doubt that God is not, that God is willing to use His power because you know you don't deserve it. And so you go around and, you know, if I stand up here and talk about I've seen people raised from the dead and blind eyes open, most of you believe that. This is a Saturday morning. You're out here listening to a preacher at a hotel on a Saturday morning. This isn't your nod to God crowd. This isn't Sunday morning. You're a fanatic. Or you were drugged here by a fanatic. You believe in supernatural power of God. You believe in this. You believe in these things. And if I said, how many of you believe that God raises the dead? See, everybody goes to clapping, and if somebody fell over dead and I said, how many of you believe God can raise him from the dead? You know where I'd lose 90% of you? I'd say, all right, if you believe it, you come up here and pray for him. And all of a sudden, man, here you are clapping and, oh, I believe it happens. And you'll believe that if I pray for him, oh, you're excited. You want to get up here and see it. But I say, you come up here, you pray for him. And all of a sudden, your excitement turns to fear. Your enthusiasm turns to reservation, like, oh no. What's the difference? You don't doubt God has the power. You know what you're doing? You don't feel worthy.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK160 titled God's View of Sin when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.